Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Pleasant good day to Grenada, Caracou, Pretty Morning. Those of you listening across the Caribbean and the world at large, I am Stanford Simon. It is a great joy and a pleasure to be with you as we give God thanks, but also for the Ministry of Finance and the work they have been doing here in Grenada over the years, and always meeting persons who would sit and talk with us about what is happening within the Ministry of Finance. Today I have with me two persons from Energy. Is Mr. Kelly Cyrus, who deal with energy, and Mr. Leslie Smith, who deal with climate change. They'll be talking to us about what is going on now within there and what's happening in Grenada. Take a word from our sponsors. We come back and I have the discussion with them. I'm sure we're dying to learn what's happening, especially the ozone layer and what is happening. I think the U.S. government, Mr. Trump, want to pull out of the ozone layer. I'll ask them about that, yeah, if that would impact us or not. All right, folks, we take a break and come right back.
One call does it all. All your basic construction needs. Backhoe, compressor, bobcat, and acroprop services. Make one call. One call does it all. 443-2894 or 409-1533. For bobcat, backhoe, compressor, or acroprop services, call One Call Construction Services. 443-2894 or 409-1533. Make it one call.
Welcome back, folks. I am Stanford Simon. Thank you for being with me today. Mr. Kelly Cyrus and Mr. Leslie Smith. Welcome, gentlemen, to Inside Finance.
Thank you very much, and it's a pleasure for me to be here and to update the nation on the work that we've been doing at the Energy Division.
It's very good to have you with us. Mr. Smith, how long you have been within the ministry?
Well, I've been within the ministry for the last 13 years. It's a transition from starting in the Ministry of Works, the Ministry of Agriculture, now in the Ministry of Finance and Energy. Essentially doing the same thing, but the department has just been moved from one ministry to the next to the next. So it's been 13 long years since I've been in this job.
Of being a man on the move, or a ministry on the move.
Yeah, somewhat.
And Mr. Cyrus, how long have you been there?
Well, I'm relatively new to the department. I only started February of this year, and yes, but so far so good. It's a learning experience and I'm enjoying it.
Are you enjoying it? Yeah. Well, that's good. At least you gentlemen would be able to tell us what's is happening there. Now, the big thing, looking at it, climate change, provide for us an overview of the work of the natural ozone, what is it, M?
The National Ozone Unit.
Yeah, the National Ozone Unit. That has been a discussion, I guess, of the ozone layer and what they're talking about. Provide for us an overview of that department.
Well, the National Ozone Unit was established in Grenada in 1993 as a result of Grenada being a signatory to the Montreal Protocol on substances that deplete the ozone layer. And each of the countries that signed this treaty were required to establish a National Ozone Unit that will handle things like institutional strengthening and projects that would phase out the production and consumption of all ozone depleting substances in order to protect our ozone layer. And for those of you who do not know what the ozone layer is, the ozone layer is a thin layer of gases that is formed in an area of the atmosphere called the stratosphere, which is about 20 kilometers upward from the surface of the Earth. And what this ozone layer does is that it absorbs all of the harmful rays that come from the sun in order to protect us here on Earth and to sustain life. So because of many of the activities that man has been doing over the years, the ozone layer was threatened, was depleted, was damaged. And as a result, we had serious consequences to us here. So the real purpose of the National Ozone Unit is to participate in the international community activities to phase out the production and consumption of these ozone-depleting substances. And so far, we have been doing a tremendously good job in doing so.
So what are some of the initiatives that was undertaken by that unit so far to help in reaching a conclusion of bettering our circumstance, of bettering the ozone layer, I would say?
Well, what we have been doing over the years is that, firstly, there were a group of chemicals referred to as the CFCs, the chlorofluorocarbons, that were very, very damaging to the ozone layer. And they were used extensively. They were used as refrigerants. They were used as propellants in in aerosol cans, all of your insecticides, degreasers, body sprays, etc. The foam in our refrigerators, in our mattresses, they were found everywhere. Even the lines in the roads constituted of these CFCs. But we have successfully phased out these chemicals in Grenada here since 2006.
So we have done that?
We have done that. As a matter of fact, the international community have finished in 2010. Our target was 2010, but we were successful 4 years ahead of the target in 2006. And then we approached another group of chemicals that were less depleting, but still needed to be phased out, which were called the hydrochlorofluorocarbons. And these chemicals are used in the air conditioning sector. And we are not required to phase out those by the year 2030. So far, we are about 7 years ahead of our target. Where we are today is where we should have been in 2025, thereabout. So we're well on track to phase out these second group of chemicals before the Montreal Protocol target. So this is significant for us, Pastor.
But it is, because you are saying that Grenada is ahead in its obligation to fulfill getting rid of those substances that have helped to destroy the ozone layer.
Exactly so. And I could outline to you some of the initiatives that we took here in Grenada.
Well, yes, please do.
To be able to achieve that. So we had to do some public awareness and educational activities, which we've done in some of the schools and with our local technicians. And because this particular problem is dealing with air conditioning, we had to train our air conditioning technicians in good refrigeration practices. So first of all, they would not vent or release the gases into the atmosphere. And we also provided them with equipment to be able to recover these gases, reuse where possible, or store for disposal where it cannot be reused. We've also trained our customs department so that they can recognize any aspects of illegal trade of these substances that we do not want to come in. We put in place a licensing system so that anybody who wants to import any refrigerant must get a license to do so. And there's a quota, so everybody has an amount that they are allowed to bring in per year, because we don't want anybody to be importing too much than what the countries are allowed to import. Other things that we have done is that we have provided equipment to TAMCC to train the young technicians there in good refrigeration practices. We have established 20 recovery and recycling centers throughout the length and breadth of Grenada, where technicians now have state-of-the-art equipment available to them.
Recovery centers in Grenada?
Yeah.
Where that is?
Throughout the length and breadth of Grenada, including Carrico and P.T. Martinique, where technicians can go to these facilities, get equipment, recover the gas from the old refrigerator.
You mean purchase equipment?
No. For loan and return to the centers.
Yes?
So these centers are equipped with state-of-the-art equipment.
20 centers?
20 centers.
Well, tell me one is, because I mean, I am
in the St. George's area. We have a TAMCC, we have an SGU at the General Hospital, BL International, Riley's Refrigeration in Tempe, Rinkabane in Monjalu. These are some that we have in St. George's area.
So
the Fisheries Complex, Melville Street, is also a center.
So a technician who do air condition and refrigeration, he can go to these places and to be able to empty his...
He can first of all get the equipment.
He
can go and recover the gases instead of venting them into the atmosphere. We provide the cylinders for them to store it, and he can return the equipment and the cylinders to these centers. So we have that system in place here for
this technician. If I didn't know that, I mean, which I should know, but I didn't know. I guess most people listening to me did not know that. But that is specifically for technicians who deal with gases.
That's right. And we first of all train them how to use the equipment, and we ask them to register with the Association of Technicians. But I want to zero in on some other initiatives that are very significant. What we have been doing for the last 4 years is providing scholarships to young persons going to TAMCC, full scholarships to do the refrigeration and air conditioning program there. So they get their books, their uniforms, their tuition, everything paid to do the program, the two-year associate degree program at TAMCC. And we have turned out over 33 students from TAMCC who are engaged in the field now through that scholarship program. And that has been a best practice, a hallmark for us at the unit, and other countries in the region are trying to emulate that particular activity.
And that is under the Climate Initiative?
Under the National Ozone Unit.
Under the National Ozone Unit. There are so many of these names. So there is a difference between the climate change and the ozone layer.
You're dealing with the ozone layer.
Specifically with the ozone layer. And just explain to us again.
Cousins,
right? But just explain to us what the ozone layer is.
Right, the ozone layer is a thin layer of gas formed in the stratosphere that absorbs the harmful rays that come from the sun, the UVB rays. So people who are exposed to too much sunlight can be affected by that. They can have incidences of skin cancer, eye cataracts, weaken the immune system. It can also affect plant production. You get less yields, smaller yields. It can cause the degradation of materials, even in construction too. The paint, the rubber that is exposed to too much sunlight, it becomes brittle and it breaks up. That is because of the overexposure to the UVB rays. And so the ozone layer's function is to absorb those rays. But because of man's activities over the years with the CFCs and these other chemicals, the ozone layer was damaged badly. The good news, Pass, is that because of the work that all of the countries have been doing internationally, the atmospheric scientists are now saying that they are seeing less and less of these ozone-depleting chemicals in the stratosphere. And they are now predicting that by the middle of this century, 2050, 2060 thereabout, the ozone layer would have healed itself because less of these chemicals are now released into the atmosphere. And the Montreal Protocol has been heralded as one of the most successful multilateral environmental agreements for having achieved over phasing out over 98% of these chemicals and also achieving what we call universal ratification. All countries that are members of the UN system have ratified that treaty, including the US, including China, including Australia, including Tutmun, everybody. And what is happening is that these developed countries who would have created the problem are now funding the developing countries to help phase out these chemicals.
All right. So, in other words, you are seeing a more effective delivery of development in the developing countries because the bigger countries are helping.
That's right. Exactly so. They have created what is called the Multilateral Fund, where they pump money into this fund annually. And then this money is then sent to developing countries like ours to help phase out these chemicals and to protect the ozone layer. It's a very successful program.
It sounds very successful. All right, folks, you're listening to Inside Finance. I'm Stanford Simon. I'm speaking to Mr. Leslie Smith, who deal with the ozone, the
National Ozone Unit
within the Ministry of Finance, and Mr. Kelly Cyrus, who deal with energy. All right, so Mr. Kelly, let me talk with you a minute about what is happening. You knew on this new kid on the block, as they would say.
That's true.
I mean, you're kind of getting your foot wet and seeing what's happening. It's not like the old man there who has been there. I mean, he's young in age, but has been a long time within the ministry, working in these the areas of energy. Now, can you give us the public background on information on your division within the Ministry of Finance? Just help us to understand what's happening there.
Okay. The Energy Division, where I'm a energy officer, was established in 1982 with the Planning Division of the Ministry of Finance and with the assistance of the United Nations. This project was implemented under the guidance and leadership of Mr. Paul Corden, a consultant of the Energy Division, in the first 2 years. During the dispensation, the government took the policy decision to recognize the critical, important role and the use of energy services in the country's economic development. The Energy Division's main function was to advise on key energy policy issues, as well as to attend fundamentally to electricity generation and distribution. Petroleum product pricing, petroleum consumption data, and the collection and collation of energy-related data also. Another important function of the division was the collaboration with sub-regional and regional international organizations and agencies on energy projects. The Energy Division was adequately staffed. We have two energy officers at the moment. Mr. Leslie Smith here is also part of the Energy Division, as he is the National Ozone Officer. And we also have a secretary, a clerk at the ministry.
So that in pretty much give you who you have within. Now, there is an organization which you have that the ministry, that the energy department work with, the division work with, Latin America Energy Organization. Can you give one example of a project that you have done together, collaborated on, and how successfully is it? If it's a struggle that you all are having to get it working, because there's so much energy thing happening, and as I rightly said, I heard that, you know, Mr. the United States will pull out. I didn't ask you all the question, but it's coming. But anyway, talk to me about this Latin America division that you all are working with.
Okay, we have at the Ministry of Energy, we have a number of stakeholders that we're working with currently. Some of them include Grenlec, Sol, Rubis, Grensol. But Olade also is one of the stakeholders. And I'll just give you a brief background on Olade. Olade is an international public entity of cooperation, coordinating and advising. Its fundamental purpose really is to integration and protection, conservation, defense, and rational use of energy resources in the region. Olade means Latin America Energy Organization. Grenada has been part of that organization, I think, since the 1980s. And Grenada is the only OECS country part of that organization. So Olade has been working with the Ministry of Energy to establish an energy planning manual for Grenada. And this energy planning manual is more or less to plan the way forward for the sustainable energy development of Grenada. So during the planning of this manual, Olade came and we had like four workshops carried out in Grenada between 2006 and 2017. The last workshop was held a couple of months ago, and we have now have the final document
for that be able to work with. And that really goes to the dealing with energy efficiency.
That's right.
And in fact, because I also know that you have, what do you call it, when you dig under the ground, sorry.
Geothermal
energy. Yeah. Is that part of it too?
Geothermal energy, well, we have a separate office that deals with
that
it,
deals
but
that.
Yes, but it's part of the energy mix because we're sort of promoting renewable energies and so forth.
All right, let me ask a little bit about the energy efficiency. And I know the LEDs has been a big thing that has been working with. Now, what is happening within that circle and how is the public being engaged? I know a number of people now are buying more the LED lights because it saves a whole lot of money.
That's right.
Bottom line, not so much is money saved at the end of the day, but at the same time, it consumes less energy. Could you talk to us about the efficiency and how your ministry is helping to educate the Grenadian public of what's happening?
We've been running a few radio programs. Actually, about 3 weeks ago, we had a program on WeFM where we are promoting the use of energy-efficient equipment and so forth. So it's not only LED lights, but we have to look at aerated refrigerators. We have to look at way of conserving energy, even your air-conditioned systems.
Yeah, because I changed my fridge and the electricity gone up by about $100. I know I have a problem, a new fridge.
Okay, so
maybe, I have a problem.
Maybe you didn't buy aerated.
I can't correct you. I think that's my problem.
Yeah, I think it's part of the education also of the people who are selling the appliances.
Mm.
We need to get more into that because people just sell appliances; they don't know what they're selling.
Uh-huh.
They can advise the customer this is the better equipment to buy in terms of energy efficiency or don't buy this or whatever.
Well, in Grenada, you just buy and sell and whatever you get, you just sell. If you try to ask them to explain about the equipment that they're selling, they'll tell you, well, you had to read the manual.
Yeah. And I guess price is a lot to pay with it also.
Well, yes, the better the price that you get.
Yeah, but in the long run, if you look at energy efficiency, it will save you money in the long run in terms of
if you
buy A-rated appliances as opposed to a D-rated appliance.
Agreed.
Yeah.
What is derated and?
Well, it's a rating. I'm not sure. In Europe, they have a rating system.
Right.
So A rated appliances is the most efficient.
Right.
Appliances D rated is less efficient.
So
you burn more electricity.
Okay. Mr. Smith,
I just want to add a couple of things. I'm surprised that your refrigerator is actually consuming more electricity.
And a new refrigerator.
Because most of these appliances now are much more energy efficient. Especially in the air conditioning sector with the inverter technology.
Right.
And we've seen a revolution in energy consumption in the air conditioning sector. People are benefiting tremendously from going into these smart inverter technologies in the air conditioning sector. But I want to also add something with reference to the question you asked to Mr. Cyrus. What the Ministry or the Department of Energy have also been providing for people wanting to go into the LEDs and energy efficient technologies is that there's absolutely no VAT on the importation of these. So that's a financial or fiscal incentive for people wanting to go into renewable energy products And energy efficiency products like the LEDs, like inverters, batteries, solar panels, all of these are zero rated as far as the VAT is concerned. Mm. So that is a fiscal incentive that government is providing for people wanting to go these energy efficient appliances. The list, however, is not complete because there's a series of other energy efficient appliances and equipment that can be added to that list so that more people can benefit from these energy savings from those equipment.
So there's a wide range plan then by the government to ensure that persons go that route of LEDs.
Yes, definitely so.
And the reason for that comes back to you use up less energy, therefore you buy less fuel.
That's right.
Therefore you spend less on the dollars.
And that money now can be used for your children's education, for your health care, for development on your property, whatever you want to do, because it's a savings that you can benefit
it's
from.
It's a savings also for the country, because if you look at the fuel bill, the input bill, the biggest input bill is diesel, which is used for the generation of electricity.
Oh, that's a big bill. I thought gasoline was the biggest bill.
No, diesel by
diesel
far.
Diesel by far.
By
we,
far?
We use
even with all those cars on the road?
Yeah, remember Grenlick, the three big tanks you see up on the hill there,
yeah,
is a lot more diesel than the gasoline that's used by vehicles.
Okay, so we really had to think about the way we save.
Yeah, sustainable approach to energy production, generation, and use. The whole issue of the public education to get people to be more conscious of their energy consumption and how they use energy, how they can save, a simple thing as a transformer.
Mm.
You know, we like to wire houses both 110 and 220 with a big transformer, maybe a 10 kVA that only might be powering the TV.
That's
and so that stays on all day. The mere fact that it's giving off heat is because energy is lost. And that continues to impact on your electricity bill monthly.
But how do we get away from that? Because we...
Then we size the transformer per appliance. So you have a TV alone that... And nowadays, all the equipment are coming using dual voltage. So in some instances, there's absolutely no need for a transformer in the house unless you have some old equipment that still uses 110.
Because
even the equipment that is coming from the U.S. now come in dual voltage.
Right.
So... rather than use them on the 110, we advise people to use them on the 220 volts and just eliminate the transformers. Transformers consume out of what we call phantom energy.
Explain that.
That is the energy that just keeps them on, that is not powering anything. And then we have all of those appliances that are left plugged in with the little lights and so on, like a Christmas tree in the night. All that is phantom energy that has been consumed in a standby mode. So... transformers are one area where people can reduce on the energy consumption by sizing them properly or just eliminating them where possible. And this is a no-cost measure, really.
Right, it is. But going back to the ozone layer, if you were to look at what the things that you have, what would you say some of the major achievements you have done in a natural ozone layer unit? What would you say is some of your major achievements?
Some of the major achievements include, one, the institution or the establishment of a licensing system that has really curbed the importation of these substances. Two, the training of 80% of the customs officers, 80% of our local technicians in the alternative technology, our scholarship program at TAMCC, the recovery and recycling centers I mentioned earlier, and now we have just established standards for the labeling of the refrigerant containers, and now for practicing technicians in the field, there are now standards that we are working on for that. That and all of the activities that we have done have placed Grenada on the international map as far as the protection of the ozone layer is concerned. We have represented and have been on the executive committees of the multilateral fund. We have chaired the meeting of the parties. We have chaired several subcommittees, and we are recognized worldwide for the efforts and our contributions to the protection of the ozone layer. As a matter of fact, next week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Grenada will be hosting the regional network meeting for all national ozone officers in the Caribbean and Haiti, English-speaking Caribbean
that
and Haiti.
That would be here in Grenada.
That would be here in Grenada. We will be hosting that meeting. And there again, we would outline all that we have been doing, our achievements thus far, how we are ahead of the Montreal Protocol targets, and what we are continuing to do to protect the ozone layer.
Cyrus, now, within energy, Where are we in Grenada in the general overview of energy and the development of energy in Grenada?
Well, we're still quite dependent on fossil fuel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most, well.
And fossil fuel meaning?
Meaning gasoline,
right.
Diesel, LPGs, yeah. So we're generally dependent on that. So we're trying now to move away from that.
To move to what?
We're looking at renewable energy. So we're looking at the geothermal. I think you would have Mr. Christopher Joseph on your program next, who's going to be giving you some more information on the geothermal process in Grenada, what they're doing in terms of that. But we're also looking at solar, and we're also exploring the possibility of wind in terms of that. I know Leslie have some details in terms of the solar projects I've been doing here.
Right, so Shadow would be great. I have about 2 minutes left, so tell me about it.
Let me quickly say that. It's a real good project funded by the Korean government, where the Energy Division have provided 28 beneficiaries with solar systems to provide electricity for themselves. So 12 persons who are in the low-income bracket, single parents with children going to school, receive those units, and another 12 who are elderly people or disabled people receive those solar units as well. And then 4 agro-processors also benefited.
Wow.
So we had 28 beneficiaries. And today when we did our review on the project, people are complimenting us so much for bringing electricity to them at no cost, because they don't have any electricity bill. Now they have fridge in their houses, they have television,
wow.
They iron their children clothes, they don't go by the neighbor to iron anymore, and they are so happy, these 28 beneficiaries of the project.
You can't be that.
And that project was launched, was commissioned, sorry, in December last year. A fitting Christmas gift for them.
A real Christmas gift. I wish all they'd come and give me that Christmas gift. I won't mind it at all. The question of the Paris Accord, where the United States has promised, Mr. Trump has promised that he pulled out. How is that going down with Grenada? We are in the middle, and the Caribbean in the middle of all of that, between Europe and the U.S.
Well, everyone is looking at us with bated breath to see how that turns out. Because just before that, the U.S. were increasing their pledges in terms of fighting climate change. And we know that the current president of the United States is not an advocate or doesn't believe in the whole concept of climate change. The first thing he did was that he made the head of the U.S. EPA a climate skeptic. And then the second thing he did is he cut the budget for climate protection. That is going to affect us and a lot of developing countries who rely on the contribution of the U.S. and others to the fund that provide the financial support for all of our projects.
So this becomes survival of the fittest, really?
It does. It would.
It would. And that would affect us as smaller countries, but in return, the bigger countries will be affected.
Everybody will be affected. Because you know that once you have the support of the U.S. in any venture, any activity,
It flies.
Yeah.
Right.
And if we have restricted or limited support,
then it becomes a struggle.
Well. Yeah.
More than if I read a story that China is becoming the new superpower. They are spending more money, or spend over $500 million in investment across the world. Maybe they would step up to the plate and begin to put money in, because they too are suffering from a lot of the problems that they face when it comes to climate.
That's right. Yeah.
And then people are having problem in breeding in Beijing and so forth,
yeah,
because of the same climate problem that they have.
But
go ahead.
But I guess that's a spin-off and what that comes from development, because once a country is developing,
right, you would have all the smog.
Yeah,
Beijing, sustainable development.
Yes, so we need sustainable development.
Right, and we in Grenada want to do sustainable development, and you gentlemen would help us make that happen.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you very much. There you have Mr. Kelly Cyrus. He's new kid on the block in energy within the Ministry of Finance, and going to help put something in place. Mr. Leslie Smith, who will deal with the climate change, and that has to do with the
National Ozone Unit.
Ozone unit.
And the protection of the ozone layer.
National Ozone Unit, and that's protection of the ozone layer, which is a thin shield
in the atmosphere that helps
absorb
the harmful rays.
You call it, you give it a name.
Ultraviolet B rays.
Rays. And people talk about that a lot these days, and they have glasses and all kind of ultra. But some of it is not necessary, but they're just making money, right? Anyway, folks, thank you so much for joining me. It's a joy to have these two gentlemen with me here today. I enjoyed Mr. Kelly Cyrus in energy, and Mr. Leslie Smith. And it's a blessing and a joy. I wish them well as they continue in their area. And I do hope as we look at the natural ozone layer unit, as we think about what needs to be done, it's, I think it's very important and critical. And I'm happy that Grenada is way ahead. And that's the story we're living today. Thank you so much. God bless you. I'm Stanford Simon. Join me here next week at the same time. We do this all over again right here on Inside Finance.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.